Hello and welcome to another edition of Establish the Run. Maybe we'll get more viewers that way, you know. All right, it's primetime props. I'm your host, Jeff Edelstein, schmuck in charge. I got Justin Carlucci, I got Keith Eister, I got Justin Bales, three guys who know what they're talking about. And we are going to break down the week 9 slate. Can't believe it's week 9 already. Time does fly. We're looking at props, we're looking at overs, we're looking at unders, and we're going to take it from there. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Can't complain. Not nearly as good as you. You self-title yourself a schmuck, yeah. But you had a little win on Showdown last night. I know you're a modest guy, but run me through that real quick. Let's hear about that Showdown team you had in maybe the worst Thursday night game of all time last night. Congrats, man. Nice hit.
Yeah, thanks for taking the bait and teeing me up for that. I do appreciate it. It was in the $3, the 118,000 play action or whatever. I threw like 10 lineups in there. Jackson, I went Lamar captain. I wanted to get all the points for the Lamar and Henry and Mark Andrews. Got a little, broke well there with Andrews as like my offensive pieces. I wanted the Ravens defense thinking that they were going to, show up. Achane, I still don't know what the hell, how do you pronounce that guy's name, but I figured he was going to be a centerpiece. And Greg Dulcich, who we all remember from his time with the Broncos. I think now that I've won the slate, I'm about even on putting money down on Greg Dulcich throughout the years. So that's good. That's nice to hear. But yeah, I didn't know I won. I went to sleep and I woke up to take a leak at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I saw a couple $1,000 in my DraftKings account, and then that was nice.
You have your Dulcich jersey on order. Isn't that the rule? You bing something with a low-owned guy, you got to buy their jersey.
Do I have to? Because I really don't want
to. You have to, and it's got to go in the back of your wall for the podcast.
No, I'm not going to do that because I'll have fond memories of Mr. Dulcich as the years roll by. But yeah, it was nice. It's nice, always nice to bank something, and I shared it with like 57 of my good friends, but it's all good. All right, enough about me. I could talk about me all day long. Nobody wants to hear it. Let's kick this off. We're going to New England. Patriots, 5.5-point favorites over the visiting Falcons. 44.5 is the total. We already know, we found out earlier today, Ramondre is out. Everyone is getting all excited for a little Trevion Henderson. We'll see. But in the meantime, Keith, you got your eyes on the other side of the ball, yeah?
Yeah. Bijan Robinson's pretty good at football, regardless of what happened last week. He was in a fantastic spot and burned everybody last week. But I think there's a spot to go right back to him here. New England has an amazing run defense, but they have allowed the 6th most receiving yards to running backs. And Bijan is one of the best pass-catching backs in all of football. He has ran a route on 72% of dropbacks, almost an 18% target share. He lines up out wide or in the slot 35% of the time. That's like the second best running back receiver role outside of Christian McCaffrey in the entire league. Line sitting at 35.5. That feels too low in a spot. It's going to be really tough to run the ball, but I think that Bijan can have some success through the air.
What is going on with this Falcons team? They are the Jekyll and Hyde team of the season.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
they look amazing. Like they could be like legitimate contenders some weeks, and then they just get trucked in the next week. Like it's really weird.
Justin, Mr. Bales, you got anything in this game that you're looking at?
Not that much. I think Bijan receiving yards is sharp. And truthfully, that's the only thing I would look at. I'm more excited, truthfully, to see how New England screws over Trevion Henderson. Because, what are they going to do? Just give him this huge work role? Like, they're already talking to other teams about running backs at the deadline. Like, you have Henderson, haven't used him. If Stevenson's not the answer, you might have the answer on your team, and you spent good draft capital to get him. And, instead they're like, well, let's just see if we can pick a veteran up. Chuba Hubbard is someone that they've kind of been talking about a little bit. And I don't know. I can't wait for everyone to be like, they have to play Henderson now because Stevenson is out, obviously. And the Patriots do something really stupid to not give Henderson the ball.
Well, listen, I know this is not a DFS show, but I don't give a shit. So you got Henderson, you got Tyrone Tracy at 5,100 on DraftKings. You got Kareem Hunt at 4,700. And now you got the beast out of Rutgers, Mr. Montgomery. Am I saying his name right? On the Bears at 4,600. So if you're gonna build a lineup, like a cash lineup with three of those guys, is Henderson the odd man out for you, Bales?
That's tough. I don't know. The only one that I know that I would be playing is Menungai. Undoubtedly, I'm playing him. I think if I had to say at the moment, I would probably move Henderson out. But I don't know 100% if come Sunday that's how I'm going to feel about it, just because like you want me to put hard-earned money on Kareem Hunt at this stage in his career. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think Henderson, we are going to wake up, you know, Monday morning to see, you know, 12 carries for 19 yards or 18 carries for 150 yards and six catches for another 70 and three touchdowns. I mean, I don't see a middling performance here. They're either going to give him a shot and he'll succeed, or they're not going to give him a shot and he's not going to succeed. How's that for hashtag analysis? Luch, you got anything in this game?
No, I just think it's Mike Vrabel. We talked about this, and I've watched his Mike Vrabel teams. You know, hell of an in-game coach, but he is so stubborn with his veterans. It's at the point, though, where you can't trust Ramondre Stevenson, and you have to start to wonder, is something actually wrong with Travion Henderson? I mean, this guy could be the game changer for this team. I haven't watched enough Patriots to know if he's that terrible in pass protection or something, but Vrabel is stubborn on a lot of those philosophies that shouldn't matter as much. I'm not saying like pass protection and blocking doesn't matter as much, but he loves sticking to those OGs and the veterans, and it's just getting a little ridiculous now. Sooner or later, they're going to have to, you know, find some other ways to move the ball, and it's kind of infuriating from a DFS and a sports betting standpoint.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move to the next game. Then we're going to go to Green Bay, where the Packers are 13.5-point favorites over the Panthers, 43.5 total. Yeah, I mean, the Packers, they decided to start throwing the ball last week, and it certainly worked against the Steelers. Keith, do you think they're going back to that?
Yeah, it's really tough to figure out where they're going in the passing game, especially amongst the receivers. But the one guy I know is going to be on the field. He's played over 91% of the snaps this season. That's Tucker Kraft at tight end, coming off a monster performance last week. The yards is up around 60. It's a little bit hefty for my liking. I do like the 4.5 receptions, though. I feel really confident in his role. He's got the second highest target share on the team. I feel like that's going to continue. Even with Christian Watson starting to work in, Kraft just keeps finding ways to get open and be involved in the offense. He gets really catchable targets that he turns into some yards after the catch as well. But I feel best about the 4.5 receptions.
I'm gonna put a question to the field here, because maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there was news I didn't see. Josh Jacobs over under attempts.
He has been on the injury report.
Yeah, they said he's dealing with some stuff. And truth be told, I mean, you can tell from watching the games, but just like you can also look at the numbers. It's like his efficiency is way down. He doesn't look great. He looks slow. And I mean, Emmanuel Wilson looks legitimately good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Matt LaFleur seems like the kind of guy that is going to, he's not going to get away from Jacobs completely. Like, they obviously gave him all that money. They want him to get plenty of carries and whatnot, but I don't think he's going to run like this super inefficient runner over and over and over when you have someone that's doing it better at the moment. So it feels, I don't want to say it's a split backfield. I don't actually think that. I know it was 13 attempts to 11 last week. I think that was more outlier than anything. But I don't think we're getting like the 25 carries for Jacobs and like 3 for Emmanuel Wilson anymore either, at least until Jacobs is like fully healthy and back and ready to go.
Gotcha. All right. Because I saw it's 15.5, which I just seems in a game that they expect to carry, you know, that
15.5.
It's low, right?
That's low.
I know. Yeah, I mean,
that's low.
But if if he's banged up and he's not looking that good, then I guess it makes sense. They won't need him to go 25 times, you know, if they're winning, you know, 28-0 at the half. Anything else in this game, fellas?
We did get news that Dowdle is going to be taking over the backfield, more or less. It's not a good matchup, but the number is not that high either. If he can continue his efficiency, I don't like it just because you're concerned about the blowout. We saw last week they got run off the field by Buffalo, and Dowdle didn't play in many passing downs. I think it's too risky of a spot. Unfortunately, we probably have to wait a week on that, but nice to see that news finally come out.
Yeah.
You know, there are 20 running backs with 100 carries so far this season, and Jacobs ranks 19th in yards per carry. He ranks 15th in explosive run percentage, according to Fantasy Points. The advanced numbers are just saying he hasn't been good, and how much to blame is the offensive line? I don't know. That was part of the narrative when Jacobs went to Green Bay. Some of the talking head analytical, you know, people in the industry were saying, wow, he's such an inefficient runner and blah, blah, blah. And they end up fading him all summer before he goes to Green Bay, and they get absolutely torched because he scored like 35 touchdowns. In a sense, it kind of reminds me of Joe Mixon. I don't think Joe Mixon's a great runner, but boy, what do they do inside the 10? They just give it to Joe Mixon over and over and over. And that's what Green Bay does with Josh Jacobs. And, you know, eventually something's got to give. We'll talk about Christian McCaffrey later, but, you know, he's obviously super talented. They've had so many offensive issues, and he's finally in a dream matchup, but he ranks towards the bottom in terms of yards per carry and explosive runs and everything as well. The difference between McCaffrey and Jacobs is, and McCaffrey's basically a 1B wide receiver and probably good enough to be half the league's 1A wide receiver, and that's just not Jacobs' game. So Green Bay's really been limited with Jacobs and what he's been able to do in the backfield, which is crazy to say because you look at the game log and he has a handful of like 25 and 30-point fantasy games. But we'll have to see moving forward. It's definitely something to keep an eye on this week.
Well, just one more thing on Jacobs is there's – several rumors out there that Green Bay is looking to add a running back at the deadline. And some even said like they've been calling about Devin Achane, which obviously isn't going to be the cheapest running back. So it seems clear that they're looking to help him. And, you know, if you're going to help him with someone that's already on the team, obviously that's Wilson. But it does seem like Green Bay essentially doesn't want, you know, 25 carries a game for Josh Jacobs at this point. And I don't know. 15.5 still feels low in this type of matchup, but I don't know. I don't have a hard stance on either side of that, really.
Let me give you guys a quick piece of trivia. Out of any running back, there's 20 of them that have had 100 carries. Who do you think has forced the least amount of missed tackles so far this year? The least. Meaning probably not a great runner, you know?
Anybody? I'm going to guess Josh Jacobs.
You're wrong, but that was a really good guess. Jacobs is in the middle of the pack there. It's Derrick Henry, according to Fantasy Points, who we've saw, you know, a couple of games. He hasn't been able to get going. I mean, he had Miami yesterday. If it wasn't for that one almost 40-yard run, maybe the narrative would be a little bit different. He was, you know, bottled up early a little bit, but that's interesting. And the bottom of that list is Henry, Kyren Williams, and Alvin Kamara is the other one. Will Kamara be drinking mimosas somewhere, or will he be a saint for the rest of the year? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Let's go to Denver or Houston. We're going to Houston. This game,
I thought it was funny, Jeff. All right.
I got you. we didn't get old. When you turn 30 as a running back, you're toast. It's not surprising, right? But I think, again, if the Ravens make the playoffs, nobody wants to face Derrick Henry in you know, a 10-degree game in January. Speaking of 10-degree games in January that have nothing to do with 10-degree games in January, let's go to Houston. Texans, 1.5-point favorites over the visiting Broncos. It's a 40.5 total by a field goal. It's the lowest total on the site, you know, on the slate. Not a lot of the thing jumped out at me as far as anything overs. I know, Luke, you mentioned something about possibly a Stroud under.
Yeah, I just – the Texans might be the most dysfunctional offensive line and offense in football, even with Nico Collins. We've seen Nico Collins on this team for most of the year, and it's been terrible. The whole thing's been terrible. There's no run game, and there's no offensive line. It just terrifies me taking anything in this game on the Houston side with how much of an abomination this Texans O-line has been. I mean, you know that term seeing ghosts, and we've said it a couple times on the show about certain quarterbacks. I feel like Stroud's dealt with that every game. He's going to be super uncomfortable against his Broncos defense. So, you know, if I had to pick a lean in this game, it'd probably be some CJ Stroud unders. I think it's going to be tough sledding for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I guess it'll be a good NFL football game. You know, these are two good teams, theoretically, right? I mean, but it's like, it just feels like it's going to be a lot of, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen anyone talking
about, I don't know. Calling Houston a good team is probably generous at this point, just with
how they have a good defense. They have a good defense.
Yeah. The defense is very good. Yeah.
You know, you could grab some overs on the punters. I don't know what they're set at, but they're going to be used.
That's not a bad idea.
This is a Fairbairn game, Jeff. I'm surprised you haven't said anything about him since we're kicker god. Here. Well, it's got to be Fairbairn.
I'm only good for kicker takes at elevation, and this doesn't count. I'm done with this game. Let's go. Someone gets to play the Titans this week. It's the Chargers. 9.5-point favorites visiting in Tennessee. Everyone's got something to say about this game. Keith, I'll start with you. What part of the Chargers do you love?
We've talked about Chargers receivers, I feel like, a ton on every show that we've done this season. And things are starting to shift a little bit. Like, we've been on Keenan Allen for a lot of the year. Bales was first to Johnston. Things are different now. They're starting to play Trey Harris a little bit more. Keenan Allen played his lowest snap share of the season. And Ladd McConkey is kind of back to being the alpha wide receiver that we thought he was going to be. He's seen 30% of the targets over the last 2 weeks. I still don't know exactly what to do. Like, QJ just is not earning targets anymore. Ever since his injury, he's still playing snaps and running routes, but he's not earning targets. Allen, when he plays, earns a ton of targets. He's still over 20% of the snap share, despite playing like 50% of the snaps or less. It's a tough room to read at this point. And then the tight end Gadsden has just completely broken out and changed things as well. So tough offense, but the thing I feel best about amongst the receivers is Ladd McConkey and his role. We figured he was the number one coming into the season. It was a really slow start for him. But ever since QJ's gotten injured, he's really been back to the number one wide receiver. I like both his yards and his receptions. His yards have been moving like crazy. So give me over 5.5 receptions for Ladd McConkey. I like the running back too. I know Bales is on him also, so I'll let Bales talk about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to say it's impossible to figure out that pass game, but they have so many weapons. And I mean, after the start of the season that Keenan Allen had, like, I don't think anyone was expecting that he was going to be losing snaps to Trey Harris, but you know, here we are. I just think that it's safe to go with Kimani Vidal. Way too low, kind of a run total. Obviously, the Chargers have several injuries to their running backs. Vidal's the guy that kind of has, I don't want to say completely taken over, but 23 carries last week. I know that obviously Patterson had 11, so it's not like his share is this ridiculous number, but pretty clear that the Chargers in certain scenarios are willing to run the ball. Obviously, we've talked so much on here about how they throw the ball, you know, way more than anyone would expect. But I think that, you know, they get a decent sized lead against Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't have a good run game or run defense, and you can just hand the ball off, run the clock out, take your whim. So I think that that's kind of what they're going to do. And we could see another game where, you know, it's like 20 carries for Vidal. And I think that it's just, you know, way too low of a line if he's getting that volume.
Yeah, I am big on Vidal this week. One of the things that I really look at these days for the last few years is like the coaches, right? Like, and like, let's compare coaches. And like, clearly Harbaugh is the superior coach in this matchup. And I'm a big fan of watching these visiting favorites come into places where they just want to win and get out. Like, the Chargers should win this game, obviously. Like, everyone knows it. I could see just a heavy, heavy dose of Vidal if it's working early and like just feeding him all game long. I mean, I saw that he's good. I was watching his highlights. He looks like a number one running back. Like, for real, you know, not that he's going to keep the job when Hampton comes back, but he looks awesome, man. And, you know, Titans aren't exactly hashtag good. And I don't know. I love the Vidal number. And I know, not a DFS show, he's going to get lost in the shuffle now. He's like 6,200 or something like that. You know, you got all these bargain basement guys, and then you got McCaffrey and the Taylors at the top. I think he's going to, you know, people are going to miss out on him. But the Titans are playing, and so we're burying the lead because I'm sure Luch has something that he loves.
Titans suck. This is really bad. They traded Roger McCreary. He was their best slot corner. Xavier Woods, their starting safety's out. Jeffrey Simmons, their best defender, still out. Arden Key, probably going to get traded, also out. They are starting rent-a-center players on defense, and it's not November yet. It is crazy. I love all the Chargers, and for DFS purposes, there's like six or seven games where the teams have really high implied team totals, like more than usual. There's a handful of teams that are over like 25 and a half, which is going to shape up to be a pretty high scoring week, I think, for the main slate. But I love McConkey. I'm with Keith. I wrote McConkey up for our best receiver props article earlier this week. Since week five, 26% target share, 36% air yard share. He's going to go against corners people have never heard of. Jalen Armour Davis, Samuel Womack the third is the nickelback, and good old Marcus Harris is the other corner. I mean, it's bad. So I love this show for many reasons. We were talking about Trey Harris, and what if we get some Trey Harris garbage time? You said he's playing more snaps, bails, and he's playing real snaps. They're really impressive. There was some positive coach speak a week or two ago, finally, about him. But if this game gets out of control, he'll for sure be a focal point of the offense late in the fourth quarter when they're giving guys like Keenan Allen, who's 50 years old, a blow, and that's fine. Listen to this Paul Koharski stats. The Titans have been trailing games by an average of 21-8 in entering the fourth quarter. Cam Ward leads all quarterbacks in fourth quarter statistics in plays, attempts, completions, passing yards, first downs, and sacks. Go figure. So I think you can bet on Cam Ward passing yards right now still as well at 208.5. 220-ish is probably my cutoff, but we were kind of waiting for this. We talked about him a lot. The game scripts are real. Unless he's getting absolutely thrashed, like 50-0, they're going to keep him in there. I hope this guy stays on his feet. I hope they continue to trade defensive players away that don't, you know, aren't exactly a direct detriment to him. Calvin Ridley's not helping anyone's call. He's still out. I like Chimiri Dike, especially now that Ridley's out. He played, 89% of the snaps last week, I think. He has a serious role. He has the role that I and many others thought Eric Iomanner was going to have with Cam Ward, and it appears that it is DK. I mean, they're designing things for him now. He's running like pre-motion snaps and then running through the B gap. It's crazy to like go catch a pass. So DK is the guy in this offense right now. It's just a complete abomination. But when you're looking for super negative game scripts and things that could happen, I didn't think of Trey Harris before you mentioned him, Bales, but what about a little Trey Harris ladder? I mean, 30 yards could be one catch in the fourth quarter, and he might even have that number during a real roll when the game's not out of hand in the first or second quarter here. You can reasonably ladder this thing when it's at like 11 or 12 yards, and it's not too crazy. You guys have any problem with the Trey Harris ladder this week?
Almost 50% of his targets come 10 plus yards down the field too. I think three targets at 20 plus. You're playing with fire, honestly. But you know that when you click the bet on Trey Harris, like you know what's coming. All it takes is one catch and you can hit that thing. So yeah, I'm cool with that.
And how about this? Based on your Cam Ward stuff there, how about you wait until halftime to bet the over on the passing yards, thinking that it's maybe it goes down. You know, there's a thought.
Live betting is so underutilized. And Keith and I talk about live betting a lot. So many overreactions and how game scripts affect, certain players that I think that's a good scenario. Because, God forbid the Titans keep it fairly competitive. You might not want that Cam Ward or that Trey Harris number at halftime, right? But I think it's going to get ugly. I wouldn't be shocked if the Titans don't cover another game the entire year. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, they're not good. Here's two not good teams, but it's shaping up to be a fun one in Cincinnati. The Bears, 2.5-point favorites over the Bengals, 50.5 total. There's a lot going on in this game. Bales, let's start with you on this one. What are you looking at? Caleb?
Yeah, so most of Chicago's offense I'm cool with. I think that Caleb Williams is in a really good spot, and then If you're going to pair him, you're kind of going to wait and see what happens with tight ends. But you know, you would pair him with one of the tight ends, I think, is the number one thing you can do. Right before we got on here, DeAndre Swift got ruled out. And because of that, I'm shifting my favorite play from the game from Caleb Williams to Kyle Menungai. I was really high on Menungai at Rutgers. I think that he's really good. I think he runs well for the NFL and the style that they play there. Obviously, he looks decent in his more or less limited snaps. And I would say that this is going to be relatively close to a workhorse role for him. He was already stealing some snaps from Swift, who's looked relatively good in recent weeks, and still he was taking some of those snaps. So I think it's a really good spot for him. Truthfully, I haven't seen what his yards are at the moment.
I just looked. It's up there.
Is it in the 80s?
Not quite. The lowest one I'm seeing is 70.5, but that's moving really fast. There's some 76.5s out there right now.
That's high, but I mean, dude, against Cincinnati, I'm still not opposed. I think that's fine. I also think you can add his receiving. He's not a bad receiver. So if you want to just kind of take everything, and then if you want like touchdown equity and whatnot, you can go to one of the sites that offers fantasy points. I think that that's fine as well. I think that this game is high scoring. I think on the other side, Chase Brown, I hate saying it, but Chicago's run defense is terrible, and Chase Brown has looked a little alive in recent weeks, or just go with the obvious Jamar Chase, who they're going to throw the ball to 60 times and kind of call it a day, you know? Two bad teams, but two bad defenses and offenses that can score make a really nice spot for props.
Yeah. Luch, something catching your eye here? You like Caleb as well?
I never like Caleb. I still don't trust him as far as I could throw him, and I probably couldn't throw him very far. But look at this sweet free tool that I'm having on the screen share, by the way. Live odds comparison tool. It's free at props.com. You could see all the odds and all the lines at all of the books. You like Menungai, get over there to Fanatics. 70.5 looks like the best line right now. It's just so much easier than opening up 10 different apps, then having to verify your identity and, you know, putting in the code they text you. And by the time you do it, that lines up to 72.5 and you're pissed off. So get on over there to Props, check out our live comparison tool. I'm not hating on Caleb. I just was expecting we would see a little more from Caleb Williams this year, a little more consistency. He hasn't been bad, but there's just some head scratchers. You know, he has all the weapons, Ben Johnson. The line is still bad, so I can't totally just crap on the guy. I'll leave it to Keith Eister, who's probably spent more time consuming Bears information and watching more Bears than I've ever had. So I'll leave it over to you.
I mean, it's just been frustrating with Caleb. It's the accuracy that has been the most frustrating part of it. That was not thought to be really a problem when he was coming into the league as a prospect. But he has not been the most accurate quarterback. Yes, there are offensive line issues, but it's also partly a Caleb problem too. So I don't know what we do with that. It's a fantastic spot. It's a big number on Caleb. It's moved up even some 247s out there now. That's like, I don't trust him to put up that number. I wanted Menungai in this spot too. I don't trust the Bears offense as a whole to put up enough yards to hit some of these props. That's really my problem here.
I was gonna jump in. I just want to, I mean, in the recent weeks, Ben Johnson has definitely moved away from throwing the ball. He wants to run the
really
ball.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Swift has been much more involved.
Right,
they were having a ton of success until last week on the ground with Swift. The offensive line changes were thought to be helpful there. Now we're changing running backs. It's a little bit risky. I think
it feels like Caleb and Manga, whatever his name is, they're both not hitting the over. I don't see that.
But I love the game environment. That's the problem. Right. Like we're still talking about a Bengals defense that is terrible.
Terrible.
It's just I've watched too much Bears football to know. Like I have a really hard time getting behind them and just saying, yeah, it's all systems go here. Especially with the amount of injuries. Like every skill position player, I think, was on the injury report or has missed practice at some point this week. It looks like Komet is going to play, so that takes Loveland out. I still think Loveland might be more involved than he was before Komet's injury. I have not seen – there was no lines posted for him before the practice report came out today. I don't know if anything has come up in the last hour or so. It looks like Loveland's up at 26 and a half now, which is basically what he was at last week with Komet out. We did hit the over on that one, did not hit the ladder, came out first place from scrimmage. He catches an 18-yard pass, Loveland did. And I'm like, oh man, we're cooking here. He didn't catch another pass, I don't think, the first half. He did hit his over, though. It's just impossible to know what the role is going to be. Burden is out, so maybe that means more routes for Loveland from the slot. I don't know. It's hard to trust the Bears' offense. This is kind of just where I'm at. And then on top of that, you have replacements coming in. Who's healthy is still up in the air. Rome is mispractice. DJ Moore is mispractice. It looks like both of them are going to play. But Burden out for sure. I think Komet was officially ruled in, and they said he was going to play. But a lot of moving parts here for the Bears.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to do anything with this game at this point, because if Flacco ends up getting ruled out, this game Hindenburg's, you know, like it's not going to be what we think it's going to be.
If Flacco gets ruled out, Manungai, I feel a lot better about 70 plus yards from Manungai if Flacco is out. Because I feel better about the game script in that situation.
Right.
If Flacco plays, I'll take a hard stance. Caleb throws for 250 plus and Manungai runs for 80 plus. They both get the job done. If Flacco's out, I don't like the game anymore because Browning is so bad.
I completely agree. You need Flacco in. And if Flacco is in, I like some Bengals stuff too. I think you can go Chase Brown rushing yards. You can go Jamar Chase receptions for sure. Dude's caught 28 passes in two games with Joe Flacco. Like, holy crap.
Hear me out.
The Bears secondary is still awful. Sorry, Luch. That's all I had to say. Like, the Bengals are going to be able to, as long as Flacco's playing, the Bengals are going to be able to move the ball.
I have 2 points. I mean, one, if Browning does start for my DFS cap on, Manunga is still going to be very popular. How do you mitigate that ownership a little bit and still correlate? How about pairing him with the Bears defense? I mean, I still think people will be a little timid to play the Bears defense, even against Browning, although they might be cheap. So I haven't really looked. But, you know, that's a correlation that everybody's going to run that has Manungai. And, you know, they're just as live for defensive turnovers as anybody against Jake Browning. I don't care who the defense is. And that's what you have to play for. My other thing is about
the Bears do generate turnovers. They give up a ton of yards, but they generate turnovers as well. So that's actually – I think they're a quality DFS play regardless. Even if Flacco's in there, I think you can play him in DFS.
Yeah, I'm not against that. I was also going to say, I was going to ask you, who is like the intermediate route runner on the Bears? My angle in the showdown slate with Pittsburgh and Cincy was, you know, Aaron Rodgers' wheelhouse is just the quick throws, the quick slants. Like, he's at his best when he can make, you know, stick his foot in the ground, make that bang bang throw. And the Bengals give up the second highest yak percentage in the league, meaning like they're not tackling, and it just seems like a perfect fit for a guy to get hit on a quick slant and take it to the house, which is, you know, if you're going to back Caleb Williams passing props, that's exactly what you want to hear. An easy throw can turn into a busted play and go 70 or 80 yards. And the Bengals have been giving that up all year. So we know Luther Burden is out. Who is it, like a, like low key DJ Moore game, or I don't know. Like,
I think DJ's more, he's closer to the line of scrimmage. Rome is the high upside guy who can catch the 15-yard dig and take it after the catch. Whoever's playing tight end or running slot routes, like, I think Zacchaeus is sneaky in this spot too. Especially with Burden out, he's going to be on the field a little bit more, unless they run Loveland more out of the slot, which is certainly in play. I have no idea what they're going to do with Loveland. I think they want to get him involved just because they used the top 10 pick on the guy. He needs to show something at some point. So that adds risk into all this, which is the problem that I'm having here. Maybe just play Loveland over 26 and a half. I think Komet can be involved too. So
it just is a very quick side note. Flacco said he's good to go and he practiced.
Yeah, you know where he's at right now? He's at the bar by himself enjoying a happy hour, just like we talked about last week. He probably has, you know, muted ESPN on, which you cannot get on YouTube TV anymore, by the way. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do next month, but he's living his best life. And if he's playing football Sunday, it's wheels up for this game. It's no longer an issue. Do you believe him, Bales? I believe him.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy that's going to be truthful and, like, I don't know. I think it's the Bengals' choice as to whether he plays, but I think like the Bengals kind of need him to play. So like I don't think it's a Carson Wentz situation where like they're gonna kill the guy over it. But I think as long as he can play, he's gonna play, and you know, I don't think he would lie about it.
It is just unbelievable. If you would, you know, we've all been doing this long enough to say the following. If somebody told you 10 years ago that you'd be having a 15-minute conversation about Joe Flacco and how important he is to the slate, you'd be like, no, I don't think I will be, honestly, you know, but yep, here we are. All right. Let's go to the next game, which is I circled this game as soon as I saw it. This is my favorite game on the slate, speaking more DFS purposes, I guess, again. But the Colts, 3-point favorites in Pittsburgh, 15.5 total. Bale's going to start with you because you're going to be talking about two guys that I am in love with this week. So take it away.
Yeah. I think this game is really, really good for like several different props. But I think the two guys that I like the most are A, Daniel Jones, specifically his passing yard. Pittsburgh's pretty good against the run. They have an atrocious pass defense. We obviously just saw Jordan Love absolutely torch them. We saw Tucker Kraft torch them, which takes me to the next play is Tyler Warren, who is already making his case for like one of the best tight ends in the NFL. So I think that duo is really good. Pittsburgh's also been bad against wide receivers, though. And Alec Pierce is like the guy that just keeps doing it. And obviously, in the beginning of the year, he was started. I think his first week, his props were like 26.5. He's up to like 41.5 or something now, which it's not really just a plug and play anymore. But the guy has like a 30-yard catch potential every single time they throw him the ball. So I feel like a guy like that, you know, Michael Pittman obviously has his role. I think if I'm choosing him, A, Daniel Jones is my favorite because you get like it's all encompassed. It doesn't matter who goes off. Daniel Jones gets those yards. But B, it's Tyler Warren for me. I think the tight end, especially the way that he can run routes, just the way that he plays, is really good for the Indy side of the ball here.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers have been getting burned by tight ends since Mike Tomlin landed there, you know, 15 years ago or whatever. And yeah, if I win the Millie Maker this week, which you know I plan to do every week, it is with an overstack here. I mean, they're inexpensive also. I mean, again, I'm talking too much DFS today. Shoot me. But this shapes – when I first saw this game, I'm like, they're going to do everything they can to stop Jonathan Taylor, right? And Shane Steichen is probably one of the best offensive-minded coaches coaching right now. He's not going to just put the ball in Taylor's belly 25 times. They're just going to let Jones cook, my MVP candidate. 304 for Daniel Jones this week. You heard it here first. Yeah, I'm telling you. You heard it here first. You scoffed. You were scoffing at me 6 weeks ago when I made my MVP pitch. He's gonna, I'm telling you, this is the week. It's going to happen. Have you? I forget who's been I think it was Rich Rebar who keeps – every week he says Daniel Jones leads the league in first half passing yards and Warren leads the league in first half receiving yards for tight end, and they're both like last in the league in the second half. So
they're up by 3 scores.
Right. But, I mean, you know, the Steelers, I mean,
the spread's close, though. We have a good spread here.
The Steelers have kept games close. Even last week against the Packers, the game, you know, they were in the game the whole game. You know, the Packers never ran away with it. So, yeah, if this is a 21, you know, 14 game at halftime, I'm spending my million. Keith, what do you like here?
The other thing is that the Colts are like the only team in the NFL that take the ball when they win the toss. And they've basically said their offense is running so hot right now that they want to just give them the ball immediately. They want to play from ahead so they don't have to play from behind. It's all wheels up for this offense is the thing.
Keith? Yeah, I'm on Tyler Warren also. I wrote him up yesterday. He's been amazing this year. Pittsburgh's allowed the most yards in the league to tight ends. And he's only playing a half of football, like you said. So I'm right there with Bales on Tyler Warren. I love this spot for him.
I love the Colts this week. I'm here in Pennsylvania, and the OG Steeler fans will tell you that this team is not good. They are a fraudulent 4-3 division winner. It's another year where they're pulling the rabbit out of the hat. They're dead even in points forward and points allowed. It's amazing that they've been able to run so well and you know, do what they've been doing. Colts are 3-point favorites going into Pittsburgh. And I mean, if this doesn't say it all, Baltimore is minus 150 to win the division. I don't know what else to say. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to have a big game. This is just going to be a really fascinating game to see what's fact and what's fiction, what's real and what's not. You have two teams with some of the most doubters and some of the highest amount of skepticism about them. Although the Colts, as day by day goes by, have been kind of shrugging a lot of those people off, but they're still out there for sure. I'm not one of them. As a Titans fan, that Colts team is for real. Shane Steichen is the goated play caller, as the kids say nowadays. I mean, it's amazing. And I think it's such an indictment on Brian Daboll and the Giants culture and the system that the G-men have had. Because what the hell? They had Jackson Dart at home, allegedly. Just, it's amazing how the intricacies and the systems and, you know, the littlest things and adjustments with the right headsets behind you can make a world of difference, because Daniel Jones looks the part. I mean, he really does. So kudos to him and kudos to the Colts staff. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the G-men the rest of the way. That's a different story. But I'm in on Indy. I don't care. They're, laying three. I'll take that bet. And I think they win by 10.
Jones is plus 1,000 to throw 4 touchdowns. That's too high. Shouldn't be that high.
My only issue with that is, I don't Jonathan know if you Taylor guys know exists. This, but Jonathan Taylor is
I know.
His own MVP case.
Oh, I'm well aware. But this just strikes me. They're on the road. If the game stays as close as it does, I the Steelers are going to sell out to stop Taylor. That's what Tomlin does. That's what they do.
I'd rather take him at plus 330 to score a touchdown. They're doing some obscure quarterback sneak stuff with him that none of us saw coming. And I can see a little RPO where they sell out to stop Taylor and Jones just kind of cruises right in from the 3-yard line.
Next week when we come back, I'm going to squawk about how I didn't bet the plus 1,000 for 4 touchdowns because I wimped out, but he's doing it. That's my hottest take of the year. I love Daniel Jones. What can I say?
It's amazing that Pittsburgh's been so bad defensively. On paper, they have these household names, especially in the secondary, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Porter. I will tell you, most Pittsburgh fans, at least locally, are sick of Joey Porter. It's either a completion or a penalty. According to Fantasy Points, they're giving up the highest catchable target percentage in the league right now.
Daniel Jones!
There you go, man. There you go. And no, we're talking all this crap about the Steelers, and they're going to do some crazy stuff where they lose the takeaway battle and win this game by a field goal, because that's the NFL. I'm still hanging my hat on Colts minus 3, though.
I love the Colts. All right. Speaking of the Giants, the Niners are coming to town as 2.5-point favorites, 48.5 total. Luke, you started talking about the Giants. Let's go right back here. Anything in this game that's sticking out to you? You're on mute. There you go.
Yeah, it's McCaffrey. Sorry, multitasking here. Producer, co-host, Colts enthusiast. I just did it all. I like McCaffrey, and a lot of his advanced numbers are terrible. The offensive line's been bad. He's averaging one of the lowest yards per carry in the league. Boy, did that number go up a little bit since the other day, though. He was in the high 60s, I believe, when it opened. But the Giants are just, you know, terrible against the run. I love Brian Burns. I love the pass rush there. Abdul Carter seems to be the real deal, but I think they're giving up 5.7 yards a pop or something like that, which I think is dead last in the NFL. I don't have it in front of me. So we saw Barkley finally break out. You know, he was bottled up all season, and the offensive line in Philly has been bad, and they didn't have Cam Jurgens in that one either. So I finally like McCaffrey. This number, you know, I don't hate it. I liked it in the high 60s. But I still think McCaffrey's in a really good spot in this game for once this year.
Bells, anything?
Yeah, I like McCaffrey too. The initial thing that I really wanted was Brock Purdy, his total yardage, passing and rushing. And while we were on pod, Mac Jones was named the starter once again. So I guess we're completely out on Purdy here. But I don't know, just off the top of my head, I'm obviously going to have to look into it a little bit more or whatnot, but I do think that Mac Jones' passing yards is probably relatively okay, especially because it's hard to completely, you know, take away someone like Christian McCaffrey. And it's like essentially like, I don't want to say free yards, but like 50 free yards, because defenders just, you can't guard him. Like, what are you supposed to do about it? And then obviously they're getting healthier. Jennings is back. Kittle's back. Like, it's, we're still getting generally reasonable numbers on them. So I think the game plays relatively well. The Giants have been playing teams really hard. Jackson Dart looks like the real deal. So I think that Luch is right. McCaffrey's in a really good spot. But I also think that Mac Jones is pretty interesting.
Keith?
If we think Mac Jones can have some success, he's got to throw it to somebody. And Juwan Jennings should have a pretty serious role here. His line is sitting at 4.5 receptions, about 50 receiving yards. I mean, he's the number one receiver here, right? Pearsall is out. Kendrick Bourne hasn't done anything in weeks. Kittle's been blocking a ton. I think Juwan Jennings looks pretty good in the spot.
I like Kittle too. And I don't know what ownership is, you know, for DFS purposes, but they actually, Kittle and Jennings, according to Fantasy Points, have ran the exact same number of routes in the last 2 weeks, which I didn't realize either. It just seems like he's blocking a lot. I mean, they're thrilled to have him back as a blocker for sure. But I think one of those two are interesting and could be a nice pivot in your non-McCaffrey builds if you're, you know, building teams for Sunday, getting some more exposure to some 49ers against a bad defense. I think that's a really interesting call too.
All right, let's go on to the next game. This is a line that I'm not understanding. The Lions are 8.5-point favorites at home over the Vikings, 48.5 total. McCarthy, who looked lost in his start so far this year, is back for the Vikings. I don't know. I think the Lions are going to blow him out. But what do I know? Keith, tell me something.
I am with you on that sentiment. I think the line's a little bit short as well. I think the Lions could win by 2 touchdowns pretty easily in this spot. So I'm on the running backs here for the Lions. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to crush as well. I believe Luch has that one. But give me some Jahmyr Gibbs rushing yards. He doesn't even need a ton of volume to do it. Minnesota's been getting gashed on the ground. Lions sitting at 71.5 rushing yards for Jahmyr Gibbs. I love that number. Even David Montgomery, if you think the Lions can win by multiple scores here, I think could get really involved to close out the game. I don't hate a David Montgomery over, but Jahmyr Gibbs is the one I really like.
Luch, he teed you up there for Amon-Ra. You like him?
Yeah, I've done so much content this week that I thought I wrote up St. Brown somewhere. I'm pretty sure I did. The Vikings are getting torched in the slot. And it's no surprise why St. Brown has historically crushed the Vikings. Flores and company over recent years like to send the heat. The linebackers aren't there. Guess who's always open over the middle? Amon-Ra St. Brown. This year, he's running over 50% of his snaps from the slot. So, again, I like St. Brown to have a big game. I'm with you guys, too, and I guess it's a little scary. It's, you know, like on national TV when all the guys pick the same team and then they get crushed. But I feel like we should just parlay the Colts and the Lions together since we're on the same page and see what happens. But I think big day for St. Brown. Jones, 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, whatever. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, big on St. Brown this week. I was never high on J.J. McCarthy, and it can't get much worse than Carson Wentz, but let's be real. McCarthy didn't look good when he was healthy this year, and now he's got to shake off a bunch of rust, get back up to NFL game speed, which he's only seen a few of in his life. So I think it's a big spot for the Lions too.
Bales, are you going to make it unanimous on our Lions love?
Yeah, I think the big thing here is that I'm in a similar boat to Luch, where I was like, coming into his career, I wasn't a J.J. McCarthy guy, and it doesn't mean he can't be successful. Like, I'm not an NFL scout here or anything. The most telling part is that he's been the emergency quarterback, which means that he obviously got cleared by the medical staff. That doesn't necessarily mean Minnesota wants to put him out there, except for Carson Wentz was absolutely broken. He couldn't even throw a ball, and they still played that over J.J. McCarthy. Now, you could be like, they view this as a lost season. They wanted to limit what McCarthy was doing. There's 8 million things that could happen. But I don't know how you would feel good being a Minnesota fan right now, knowing that the people that have watched them play every single day, know what's happening, chose to throw out Carson Wentz, who couldn't even move, instead of letting your rookie play. So yeah, give me Detroit. I think Detroit also blows them out here. I think that Keith nailed it with Gibbs. Speaking of like historically good against them, I think last season Gibbs averaged 7.7 and 6 yards a carry in their two games. He went for like 120 plus both times or something. Give me Gibbs. Give me Lions. I don't see Minnesota being that competitive.
I have two more points to make real quick.
Go.
Piggybacking off Bell's, it was a weird situation. McCarthy finished the game, and then the next morning, this is weeks ago, they announced that he was hurt and out for multiple weeks. Like, he played through whatever injury he has.
Like, they also changed the timeline, where they were like, he's only going to miss a couple games, and then when Wentz looked okay, they were like, well, actually, you know, he's a little more hurt than we said, and he's going to miss a few more weeks.
Vikings are sus, as they say. I don't know what's going on there, man. But my second point is irrelevant to this point. I know everyone likes a good narrative, except Bales probably. And I don't even like this one. But Coach Speak Index, who does the Lord's work, by the way, ripped a scene from the press conference with Detroit OC John Morton about Jameson Williams. And the quote is, I've failed him. That's what I told him. I'm like, listen, man, I'm going to do a better job. I don't know if it's going to be this week, though, because Jameson rarely runs any snaps from the slot, and that's what I'm targeting. I think it's the same Brown week, but if you like a good narrative, Jameson Williams lines are at, like, what, 40, 41 yards? I can show you on this beautiful free new tool I have here momentarily, but thought that was interesting, though. Not often do you hear a coach open up and saying that he told one of his players that he has failed him.
Yeah, Williams strikes me as one of those players, like, when I first got into DFS, it was like, you know, well, this guy's due, you know? And I feel like you're at the end of the year, when you look at Williams' stats, I would be willing to bet that they look pretty close to what you think they should be for the year. You know, he's got probably a couple of like 9-180-2 games in him, like before this year's over, because he's capable of it. We all know that. And it just hasn't happened yet. But going back to the overall game for a second, I mean, I think it's safe to say that the three of you and me are a little bit smarter than your average NFL fan, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think anyone of us will ever claim that we're smarter than the NFL universe. What are we possibly missing here with this line?
That J.J. McCarthy figured some things out, but that's a huge assumption. I mean,
tough divisional matchup. They play those pretty hard.
Right.
I think a lot of the times Vegas is trying to set lines where they get money on both sides.
Of course, like, yeah.
Once you start getting like double digit, people just start hammering one side, right? Because it is the NFL and whatnot.
I think there's still a lot of respect on Minnesota's defense as well.
Well, they haven't looked good. They looked good against shitty teams, but not against good teams. Yeah. You know.
Also, what a game to get Brian Branch back too. He was out. That was last week. He was out. Right. The weeks are blending together. But you know, Jefferson and Addison. Brian Branch has entered the chat. Someone you really want back there when you have those two guys on the outside.
All right, let's look at the late slate of games. I'm told there's three. You wouldn't know it based on what one of the games is. But let's start with the Rams. They're home. They're touchdown and a half a point favorites, 14.5-point favorites over the visiting Saints, 43.5. Saints are starting their, like, 93-year-old rookie quarterback. Puka's back for the Rams. If he has limbs, all four of them, I say he's a good bet for hit his overs. I'll open it up to anyone who wants to say something about this game.
I'm just going to start it up and say odds makers think that Puka is a full go. I'm seeing 91.5 on FanDuel. I understand that every bettor in the world, like, what percentage of money do you think ever comes in on Puka unders? They have to set that line astronomically high, but still 91.5 after a multi-week absence, that's hefty. So that tells me that he is going to be a full go. I was expecting like mid-80s. I don't know what it opened at, but man, for Friday afternoon, 91.5 probably only has room to grow here, honestly, as we get closer to kickoff. Go ahead, Keith.
7.5 receptions is heavily juiced to the over. So
yeah.
Like -150, I'm seeing.
Remember the good old days a couple weeks ago when you had him at 6.5 every week?
Oh. Yeah. I'll throw in Chris Olave and Shaheed look kind of decent. I don't think – I'm not a Tyler Shuck guy. I don't think he's that good. I don't know He's not going to be an upgrade over Rattler, I don't think. But LA will give up receiving yards to wide receivers, and the Saints are going to be throwing the ball the entire game. So, I mean, I don't know. We had 12 targets apiece last week. You know, obviously, Shook saw plenty of attempts in that game. So, I wouldn't say it's something I trust. I don't feel good about playing the Saints offense at the moment, but I do think that Olave and Shaheed are both going to get a reasonable amount of targets in this type of game.
All right, so there's the Rams and Saints, and the other hot game in the afternoon window there is the Jacksonville Jaguars, 2.5-point favorites over the Vegas Raiders in Vegas. 43.5 is the total. No one was talking about this game until today, when everyone's favorite rookie, it looks like he's done for the year, Travis Hunter, non-contact knee injury. That's never non-contact is probably the two worst words you ever want to hear in the NFL. 43.5 total here. This game, Brock Bowers is back and healthy. Do we like Bowers doing something finally this year for my 25% that I own him an underdog, please?
I like Geno. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Wow.
Good. It's a good matchup. I'm a matchups guy. I mean, he's coming off what, like 50 yards last week or whatever against Kansas City. He's got to jump up, and his numbers are low. They're really low. You can still hit Jeanty out of the backfield. He can always break one. I don't know. Again, it's not like I'm not coming on here saying I feel good about Geno Smith, but I do feel like the spot is good for him. And if we're going to get that low of a number, I'm not necessarily opposed to it.
I get it. I'm a matchups guy mostly too. I will say we're going to see Aiden O'Connell by Thanksgiving. That's my prediction as well. They opened up the practice window for him. Geno has been generally horrific, although, you know, he has taken advantage of some bad defenses. And worst case scenario, the guy likes to chuck it deep. I mean, he said, screw it, Bowers down there somewhere. I mean, that thing's gone. So at least you know that ADOT's going to be pretty legit.
It's fascinating. We all know, like, NFL, like, the system matters so much. But you look at, like, what Geno did in Seattle, what Darnold's doing in Seattle, you know, and then you take Geno and you put him in this system, and the wheels come off, you know?
It feels like yesterday we were watching him throw over 400 yards a game at West Virginia. You guys never see those memes where it's like, the girl's at the guy's house, and it's like, I can't believe what he put on TV for me. And it's like a YouTube clip of like Tavon Austin highlights. I feel like we have that nostalgia with Geno Smith when he was just beating up on nobody. So over 500 a game at West Virginia. He had a nice little run in Seattle for sure. What a windy career he's had. I'm banking on Aiden O'Connell sooner than later. Keith, you got anything in this game?
I do not have anything in this game. I'm not touching Jacksonville with Hunter going out right when it looked like they were trying to get him more involved. Brian Thomas is clearly dealing with an injury, hasn't been good all season, has developed a case of the drops. Who steps in for Hunter? Like, there's obviously opportunity here. I don't know that I want to trust Parker Washington or De'Ami Brown, and who's even going to get the majority of the work there is another question. Nothing for me in this game. If I had to pick one prop from the game, it'd be Bowers over receiving yards.
Yeah. All right. Last game on the slate, biggest game of the week. Chiefs going to Buffalo as 1.5-point favorites, 52.5 total. Here's my hot take. This we're not even sniffing 52.5. That's my hot take. But you guys tell me why I'm an idiot. I'll start with you, Keith.
Ooh, that is hot, because the Chiefs offense has looked pretty unstoppable with Rashee Rice back. There's a lot of talent here. I think Mahomes made the comment that this might be the best team that they've had. And like, I can see why he's saying that. Since Tyreek Hill left, the offense just has not been quite the same. They have the ingredients here to have that type of offense again. I know Kelsey's older now, but Rashee Rice is a really, really talented football player. He fits perfectly into the piece that they were missing. Worthy can stretch the field. Rice can get open underneath. So I don't know that Buffalo can completely shut them down. And then on the Buffalo side, they have Josh Allen, and there's just nobody in football that I'd rather have when my team needs to catch up than Josh Allen. For that reason, I'm on his rushing yards. He's played the Chiefs in five times in his career. He's averaging over 44 rushing yards a game against them. His line sitting at 37.5. The number goes up when you add in the playoffs. He's played them four times in the playoffs as well. Allen's just going to do everything he can to will Buffalo to a win. Home field advantage is obviously really important. This game matters for that equation in the play. Once we get to the playoff seeding stuff, both of these teams want to win really bad. They're going to be fighting it out. Allen over rushing yards. My favorite prop from the game. I think that Hunt is really interesting. I don't necessarily trust Kansas City to run the ball, though, is the problem. Buffalo's run defense is definitely beatable. I just don't trust Kansas City to run the ball. They're going to put it in the hands of Mahomes more often than not. One other off-the-board one that I like is Xavier Worthy over 3.5 rushing yards. He's been over – he basically gets one rushing attempt a game, and he's been over in every game except last week, I believe, this season. But that's just kind of a fun one there. Nothing that I would put a ton of money on or anything, but worthy rushing yards.
I want to add real quick to the Allen rushing. I think I read or heard somewhere that he's never been under 10 carries against the Chiefs. And yeah, his attempts is at 7.5.
And it's not we're citing the Chiefs because that's who we're playing. It's any competitive game where they're in a trail. Like when the game's competitive and it's back and forth, we saw this like the Ravens come to mind as somebody that they play like that. Like Josh Allen, just he puts on his Superman cape and he goes out there and he wins a football game.
Yep.
Like that's the type of mentality that he has. So that I don't see a way that he doesn't get there unless the game gets one-sided.
Bales, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Keith nailed that. One, if I'm playing anything on Buffalo side, Josh Allen rushing, that's what I had outlined too. He nailed that. Kareem Hunt, agree. That's how you beat. You beat Buffalo on the ground. I just like it's Kareem Hunt, you know? I think Patrick Mahomes rushing is also pretty solid just because of, once again, the type of game. Both guys are going to be doing everything they can to win. Buffalo struggles against mobile quarterbacks. I'm like 50-50 on this, but Rashee Rice, his receptions look pretty nice. They're getting the ball to him as quick as possible. He has, I believe it's 13 receptions on 15 targets within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. 7 of those came behind the line of scrimmage. And now you take Pacheco out of the equation. Like, what's more likely? We give Hunt 20 carries or we just throw the ball immediately to Rashee Rice and use that as an extension of the run? Like that makes way more sense to me. So I think I think Rashee Rice, like they're just looking to get him the ball so many ways. And if you even look at it, like the dude was on pace to absolutely torch Las Vegas in his first game back. They just didn't play the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I think he's going to get a ton of targets. I think they're going to use him in his normal receiver role, which normal, like we put that in quotes. He's not like a normal receiver running a full route tree and whatnot. But I think that we just also use him as an extension off of the run game, and they're going to get him the ball in his hands like as quick as they can.
I think speaking to that point, Hunt, his carry total is set at 11.5, which is absurd for somebody who like is expected to be the you know, basically playing the Hunt role and the Pacheco role.
Is there any chance that Rashard Smith gets a much larger rushing role? Like, everyone talks about how much he plays in the passing game, but if you look at his numbers, the dude barely runs any routes. It's just when they do put him on the field, that play he gets the ball. Like, I think it was like 3 weeks in a row or something. He had like between like 2 and 4 receptions, but he also ran like 5 or fewer routes.
Totally agree.
Last week is my question. As somebody who bet his over receptions in that game, where did Rashad Smith go last week is my question.
Well, they might not have a choice this week, but to use him.
I completely agree. And it's just weird because it seemed like they were really starting to integrate him into the offense a little bit. And then he kind of just disappeared last week.
I think Kareem Hunt to score a touchdown is the best value on the slate at +105. I don't care about the yards. Bales, Keith, and I all write the touchdown articles for props, anytime touchdowns and first touchdowns. This is the year I've bet the most touchdown props in my life. And I've been honing in on more. When and where are the guys on the field? Yeah, you're going to have some explosive plays, but who's on the field inside the 5 and inside the 10? It helped me hit Barner earlier this year. I've hit Kareem Hunt a couple of times. Like, find someone that loves you as much as Andy Reid loves Kareem Hunt inside the 10-yard line. Here's just the numbers say it all. Kareem Hunt's played 78% of the snaps inside the 5-yard line this year. That's the most on the team outside of Rashee Rice, who only played 7 of them. Isaiah Pacheco has played 13%, 3 of 23 snaps inside the 5 that he was active for. Inside the 10, it's the same thing. A little bit more skewed here. Kareem Hunt's played 54% of the snaps inside the 10, and Pacheco's played 34%. So, you know, the little goal line role that Pacheco had, which was microscopic, Kareem Hunt also took over. I can't understand why he's plus 105 to score a touchdown. He's 7-1 to score 2 touchdowns. So that doesn't make sense to me. He should be on the other side of that plus sign and you know, be minus money or whatever you want to call it. It's ridiculous. I'm going to bet that as soon as the show's over.
Just to put a wrap this up, my reasoning for the under is if you look at the history of these two teams in the last few years, the regular season games, they sniff 52. Sometimes, I think there was a 2017 in there. It's the playoff games where, you know, everything goes bananas. And I kind of feel like this is, you know, neither – I almost feel like I almost like if I'm a coach, I'd rather lose the game than show my hand with everything that I might have up my sleeve for, you know.
Even so if it meant giving up home field advantage?
Yeah. Yes, because these are – I don't – for Allen and Mahomes, I don't think – these are pros, man. I'm not sure that it necessarily matters, like, at you know, at when it's 2 minutes left in the game and, you know, it's 31. Listen, granted, they prefer to have home field advantage. I mean, that's not even a question. But, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe if it was week 16 – and like it was, you know, we knew what was going to happen, you know, like it was, but we're halfway through the season. A lot can happen here. I don't know. I love the Hunt touchdown. I love the Allen yards. I love all of it. I just feel like this game isn't going to, I just don't think it's going to come close to the 52. That's it.
It's very possible. And I mean, it is a little wild for me to think that Hunt's even money in a game total that's what, 52.5. So, yeah. You know, it has the wheels turning in my head a little bit. I do want a quick victory lap for on behalf of Justin Bales here, because he's a modest guy, but he absolutely nailed the James Cook nuke game last week. Yeah. It's on our YouTube shorts, and if it's on our YouTube shorts, then it definitely happened. So awesome call on James Cook. I mean, we knew it was a cupcake matchup, but you were like, no, he's going to absolutely scorch the earth, and he did that. So, I mean, obviously different defensive, you know, matchup this week, Bales, but what do you think Cook's role is going to look like in this one?
I think it's a Josh Allen game, if we're being honest. I think, like, you, James Cook's nice to have. How do I put this where, like, I don't sound like a complete idiot later on when he has a big game and goes nuts? He's a really good running back to have. You can lean on him all the time. But when push comes to shove and you get a game against Kansas City, you get the game against Baltimore, you get the playoff games that, you know, you need stuff to happen. It's Josh Allen's team. I think that these are the type of games that Josh Allen completely takes over. I think James Cook can be fine. I don't think that this is like a 150 and 2 touchdowns game for him though. Like, I think he's relatively capped because you want to keep the ball in Josh Allen's hands.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go around the horn, best bets of the week, and then Luch is going to take us out. I'll start. Daniel Jones over 251.5 passing yards. Thank you. Good night. Bales or Keith, who's ready for their best bet? Jump in.
I will go with Jahmyr Gibbs. I think the Lions win by multiple scores here. Gibbs is going to be heavily involved. Minnesota's been gashed on the ground. Jahmyr Gibbs over 71.5 rushing yards.
Mr. Bales.
Man, I was going to go Daniel Jones, so good thing you went first. I'll go Kyle Manungai. I think what's his yardage set at? It's in the 70s. Whatever Manungai's yardage is, as long as it's under 80, give me the over on that, and then you can also just sprinkle in a touchdown as well.
Very good. Luch, take us out.
Yeah, I like a little two-legger SGP with McConkey and DK on the other side. A little bit of correlation there. I think McConkey – it's going to make it look super easy this week. I think it's going to get ugly. And that means a lot of catches for DK, especially in the fourth quarter where Cam Ward leads pretty much every damn passing metric because the Titans are terrible. So that's my take. By the way, all of our content at props.com is absolutely free. And this beautiful live odds tool is also free. You can shop for the best lines, the best prices, all kinds of markets right here in front of you. And we've been entrenched with NBA. It's NBA Cup night. It's Friday. It's a loaded slate. We have a ton of NBA picks and a ton of NBA content across the board. We have preview on the entire NBA Cup tournament. We have a what is the NBA Cup type of article as well, which gives you the history and the rules because things get a little funny. It's not just the fluorescent courts that are so tough on the eyes that they like to roll out. So funky rules now for the Cup. And it's been a hit with the league and the players. And it's made bad games more interesting and more competitive. So I'm in for that as well. But that's about it. So we're going to hop out of here. Give us a follow. Give us a subscription. We appreciate you all trying to build out this YouTube channel here. So every sub and every follow is much appreciated if you like what you were listening to today. So for Jeff, the Daniel Jones truther, for Bales and Keith, I'm the Looch. Good luck this weekend. We will see you next week.